The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And it's more important than ever today because we, you know, we're making the mistake of hoping that America wakes up somehow from this craziness that we're in. We're not going to wake up unless the men of God wake us up, because the education system and the homelessness, the fatherlessness that's going on in this country, boys are not being taught what it is to be a man.
Ken Harrison of Promise Keepers urges men to share hope for future generations. Next on Life Today.
I want to welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are just thrilled to talk to you. Let me just say this. I emphasize what you're going to hear is really important. Now, let me tell you how important it is. It's important for everybody you love. It's important if you care about yourself. Betty, you remember years ago when I went to speak to 1.4 million men in what was called Stand in the Gap, Promise Keepers. Just look at this picture and listen to Jack Hayford. Interesting how this Baptist and this Pentecostal, and all of us suddenly showing you that God's family can be one. Just take a quick look, and then you're going to meet the new head of Promise Keepers. Just watch this, and I'm going to introduce you to Ken Harrison in a moment. Watch.
Everybody say, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Here's James Robinson. James, come share with us. Here he is right now.
Is your heart full? Do you love the Lord?
Yes.
Would you say, I love you, Lord?
I love you, Lord.
I love your church.
I love your church.
I love my family.
I love my family.
I love the lost.
I love the lost.
I love the world.
I love the world.
I love my enemies.
I love my enemies.
My heart is full.
My heart is full.
Now Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. You will express what's inside your heart. All day long, your heart has been filled and thrilled with the glory of God's presence. I called my wife a few moments ago in Dallas. She said, James, the whole house is full of the glory of God. She said, the glory of God is on the television station. The glory of God is on the news. Jesus is being exalted. To God be the glory.
And that's what it's all about. 1.4 million men. I walked out on the platform with Coach McCartney, Tony Evans, and Jack Hayford before all the other speakers got there. And tears welled up in my eyes. I looked at the others, and there were tears in their eyes. I said, look, God is looking down and said, look at my kids, look at my guys, look at my family. He and Jesus were talking about what they were saying. Ken Harrison, you never thought you'd be connected from being a police officer, and you went into business and real estate, and you became unbelievably successful and wealthy. Then you were asked to take over an organization where people want to give to charities and they want to guard their resources wisely. And you headed that up and helped it grow. And then all of a sudden, somebody asked you to do something with Promise Keepers, following something. And I'm just telling you, these are things I know, that you wanted to retire, ski and hike, and you were located in Castle Pines and between Denver and Colorado Springs. And God said you weren't going to do that. So what did he let you know you were going to do? And then you hear about the Promise Keeper situation.
Well, you know, you've heard me tell this story. I was praying really in the spirit, just really, you know, those moments when you have, you wish you could be on the mountaintop with the Lord where he's speaking to you. And all of a sudden he said, Ken, by name, I did not put you through everything I did and teach you everything I did so you could ski and hike for the rest of your life, which was my plan. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he said, are you willing to be as ambitious for my kingdom as you were for your kingdom? And I, in not one of my greatest moments, said, I don't know. Mm. He said, be careful of your answer. It's going to cost you your life. And I talked to the Lord for about 2 hours. I just said, I'm tired of leadership, tired of firing people, being sued, stabbed in the back. I just tired of people. And when I finally got done whining at him and said, yeah, Lord, whatever you want, he said, I'll tell you what I have for you when you're ready. And then 3 more years went by where I just learned humility and learned to seek him and learned closeness with him. And finally, when Promise Keepers came along, I didn't see it. I didn't know it. I didn't want anything to do with it. And God reminded me, I said, remember that conversation we had that night in your closet? This was it. My men need to be woken up. So here we are.
Well, we want to make sure all of you know that there's no attempt to resurrect Promise Keepers. They had hundreds of stadium and coliseum meetings, not only all over the United States, but all over the world. And it was men coming together at the invitation of a coach who had won a national championship, who faced a lot of challenges himself, but he really somehow inspired men to seek God and to become Promise Keepers. You and I know, Ken, that men are not to lord over anything, and the Lord is to be their Lord. Mm-hmm. And if they do what God wants them to be doing, they're going to be leading wisely under the direction of the Lord God Almighty. Well, that was beginning to happen with these men, mm-hmm. and they were beginning to become like a family. And it ended with that stand in the gap where we all came together to say to America, let's be men of God. Let's be the examples God wants us to be, starting with our families, in our communities, of course, in our churches. In other words, let's look like the family of the perfect Father. Now, we don't know why suddenly it just like it faded. And here's one of the things that I've tried to make clear, very clear. There is no movement other than the move of God through the one force on this earth the gates of hell cannot be effective against. That's the church of the living God. It is that church, that force, not any organization or part of the church that you suddenly let replace the church. So when we're talking about Promise Keepers, we're talking about men doing what those men were seeing was important. And in faith, you believe God wanted you to as for AT&T Stadium, which is a very well-known stadium where Dallas used to have a football team and played there and people knew about them, maybe again someday. Here's the deal. We want to see men come together in the presence of God to become the examples and leaders that love their wives the way God wants them to be loved, that wives want to be loved, and have a man that's a man. They want to be treated like a queen, but not by a pawn, by a king that loves the king, King of Kings, and love them, lead the children properly. I believe the stage is set for the greatest move of God Amen. In the lives of the people in the church and with men. Ken, is that? I'm just going to ask you point blank. Are we trying to bring back Promise Keepers? Are we trying to see the God that moved them under His control make the powerful impact the church should make on everything on God's planet?
That's such an important point. We're not trying to bring back a ministry. We're not trying to bring back the 90s. We're trying to wake our men up, because our women and children are depending on our men waking up. Because when men are screwed up, it's women and children who suffer. The church needs men to be strong. They need to be reminded of who they are in Christ, that they are kings, they are the Son of God. And as, when it comes to leadership, it's servant leadership. We're to lead our wives like Christ leads the church, which is to love them and to give our lives up for them. We got to stop arguing with each other, and we got to start coming back together as who we are. We're beggars telling other beggars where we found bread. Christ's grace is good enough for you, for me, and for everybody else that's going to be in that stadium. That's the message we got to get out. And when we do, when we start acting like who God said we can be, when we're born again and changed from the inside and filled with the Holy Spirit, the whole church, the whole world is blessed by that.
Betty, what do you think about, you know, you people have said they believe we love each other. We're crazy about each other. We've been married 57 years. We're more in love than we have ever been. And we went together 4 years before we married. So we've been together over 60 years. I'm crazy about you. But I wouldn't have made it without you. Mm-hmm. You became the source of strength. But how important is it to you to know that I loved you and you could help me learn and we could learn together? How important it is for men to really come to God and learn how to love their wives the way women want to be loved and inspired and blessed and lead the children. How important is that to you, and how important do you think it is in our nation?
I'm very excited about what God has put on your heart, Ken, to really seek Him first and then step by step let God guide you, because I think it's so important, you know, God created us different, man and woman, and not to one lord over the other one, but to work together help meet one another, help meet each other's needs, and to serve God together as one. And I think that's what God has helped James and I do so much. He has honored me as his wife. I'm not less than he is. He's not less than I am. But we are a team, and we always want to move as one as God leads us. And it makes for a happier heart, a happier home, a happier place, a happier family, when mom and dad are working together, not one telling the other not what to do and the other one, you know, always coming at one another. I remember when our children were very, very small. And, you know, kids, they can try to play mom against dad. They do that very well. And so I remember one time when our kids were attempting to do this, James set them all down and he said, let's make something clear. Your mom and I are one in guiding you, in training you to grow up the way God wants you to, but also to in discipline. So do not play this game of one against the other. And I think that's the way God wants it to be. We're a team. We're one. We complement the gifts that God gave him different gifts. He gave me different gifts, but together they mesh because we're not trying to get over one and outdo one another, but we're trying to do what God's called us to do.
I promise you that you know, Betty and I really do pray for you. And if we were in the living room with you in person, you'd know these people love us. I want God's best for you. I want God's best in every man and every woman and for every child to behold the glory of the Lord. This meeting in July, 2 days, is to bring men together, as many as come, whether it's Gideon's army or whether it's 80,000 men who decide to lose their life in kingdom purpose. Ken, we're not just having a gathering with great anointed speakers, which we've got. We're having a gathering to come into the presence and fullness of God. And I think you and I have come to hear something very clearly from God and together as we prayed. God cares about our dreams. We too often make our dreams and our goals our kingdom. God's building one kingdom, and we're either gathering or scattering. It's his kingdom. He left us here to make a kingdom impact. You and I seem to believe that if men would lose their life in his kingdom purpose, the power of his kingdom would shake everything in this world. Do you agree with that? And believe that's what we're really hoping, praying, and trusting God for.
Now, we've spent a lot of time together, and Betty, you're good friends with my wife, Elliot, so you know that there's no lording over my wife. She's a tough woman. At the stadium, look, when you talk to people who went to the 90s events, they talk about that feeling of hearing 80,000 men sing Amazing Grace, the feeling of I'm not alone anymore. They can feel the Holy Spirit. And I've heard more testimonies about men who went home and fell on their knees and asked their wife for forgiveness because they never knew any better until they heard these mature men of God explaining to them what it is to be a man and what it is to be a man surrendered to God. And so we've seen households change. 45% of the tickets that were bought in the 90s were bought by women sending their husbands and their sons to the event because they heard all the stories about completely transformed lives and transformed families. And it's more important than ever today because we're making the mistake of hoping that America wakes up somehow from this craziness that we're in. We're not going to wake up unless the men of God wake us up, because the education system and the homelessness, the fatherlessness that's going on in this country, boys are not being taught what it is to be a man. They don't know what it even means. If you say to me, James, can't act like a man, we both know what you mean by that. Mm-hmm. You say that to a 20-year-old boy today, he doesn't know, what do you mean, act like a man? And so we've got to remind these guys of what this means. That's why we have so many scholarships that we're putting out. We're trying to bring 10,000 fatherless boys and poor boys from all over Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana to the event, because if we can get 10,000 fatherless boys in there to see what it is to be a man, imagine what those 10,000 boys can do. And we light them up. And then it's not just the event, but we have a whole follow-up program, discipleship program, getting guys with mentors. We're linking up men, mature, godly men with boys that they can teach them how to be a man. And so this is not just an event. It's in a whole thing that centered within local churches, follow-up, discipleship, mentorship, so that guys are not having a mountaintop moment and then leaving there not sure what to do. We're going to help walk with them throughout life this time for a long time.
It's in July, the dates.
July 16th and 17th, Friday, Saturday.
Friday, Saturday. And you have to register. There is the Promise Keepers website. There's information. Take note of it. You can go there. You can get more and more details. But it's $75 to go. And when Ken was talking about fatherless people or people that are challenged, it may be people who live in a very low-income situation, but, boy, you want those men to come. We're going to do our best with your help to help people who need a scholarship to go to do that. You may say, James, we want to help with that. So you could go on Life Today and /PK and say, I want to help somebody go. I want to help take care of their ability to go and be there and do whatever it takes. And so you can do that. And we thank you for that. And I can promise we've already given scholarships to some of these who don't have the resources to come, even the $75. I am asking every woman, Betty, just as you said a while ago, if you want to see, and Ken talked about how women paid for their husbands to go and they saw their husbands change, encourage your husband to go. You have an older son, encourage him to go as a father and son. And those of you who say, James, I want to help someone go. There again, LifeToday/PK, and say, I'm sending this gift. Just tell us what it is, and we'll put it in. Ken, I'm going to do everything I can in every way, and you know that. I'm encouraging everybody. I'm going to encourage every pastor to encourage their men to go. Look, those of you watching right here in the United States, in Texas, and really in the Metroplex, you could fill that stadium. Here's what I'm asking you to do. In prayer, I want you to fill it with the glory of God. I want you to fill it with the power of God so that when those men get there, they have an encounter with God. And they lose their life to find it in kingdom purpose. And they will find it in all the fullness of who He is, His love, His compassion, His boldness, His delivering truth and unconditional redemptive love. Pray, God, fill that stadium. Fill it with your glory. And fill it with men that will yield their lives to your glory. Ken, you and I are going to stay very, very close for the rest of our lives. There's no question about that. Both of us know, because of the miraculous power of God, we've lost our lives, and we were not men without dreams. And our Father cared about our dreams. Most people never really care about His dream. Somehow, you and I and our wives, and boy, your wife is a blessing. Listen to me. They're much alike. You and I are much alike. But we have totally lost our dream in His vision and His dreams.
Amen.
And our viewers, listen, you've been listening to us for a long time. You think I've been on television 50 years? And I've been preaching this year 60 years. You know we want God's will done. I've said to you, I believe you're the remnant, those of you who love us. You're a remnant to wake up the remnant that can awaken the church to witness the next great awakening. Pray for that event. Encourage others to go. Get your church involved in prayer and filling that stadium with the glory of God and with men who will give their lives to God for His kingdom purpose. Can we put God's arms around people that are overlooked? We have started putting our arms now for more than 30 years around the least of these. And our viewers, they love it. You show us a need that love can meet, we're there. I want you to look in and see what God's love through you can do right now to become a miracle in somebody's life, save their life, and point them to Jesus. Watch closely.
The mortality rate for children under 5 in sub-Saharan Africa is the highest on record worldwide. Severe malnutrition and starvation are two of the contributing factors in an unrelenting food crisis causing misery and death.
It's absolutely devastating to just walk through this cemetery here and to see how they're digging graves. They're preparing graves for young children, more than 10 graves that have been dug here. These graves don't have a name yet. They haven't been allocated to a child. But they've dug them because they know their children will die in the next week. Children who don't deserve to die. They don't deserve to die simply because they didn't have enough food, because their families couldn't provide for them, because their village was ravaged by drought, because they didn't have mission feeding. You see, we can stop the digging of these graves. We can stop children from dying. We can stop children from filling these graves. We can bring the cycle of death to an end if we just act. You give mission feeding. You give life, life in the form of a bowl of food that not only fills a stomach, but empties a grave.
Wow, Betty, I remember the first time that I knelt there in that cemetery, and it went on to where they're listening to me. I think they were just in the hundreds on their way to the first 1,000, but it got to where it was thousands. I'm pretty sure it went between 10 and 20,000 right there where I was first kneeling, and now there's another one. And most of these little graves were very small because they were children's graves. And I remember saying to you, we can stop this. You did it. Now listen closely. I just referenced hundreds, thousands, maybe 10,000, because you reached out and you saw those little children. You saw those graves and you said, well, stop digging graves and give life. Your love stopped that death cycle. I went back there where there were schools meeting in churches and little children singing. And I remember walking away. The pastor of that particular school said, oh, y'all not coming back anymore now that we're okay? Because we want you to come back and we want to keep feeding them so we can keep singing. And I had to say through an interpreter, and I reached out and put my arms around him as a little guy, we'll never leave you. Love never leaves. I want to say to you right now, I want you to stop the death cycle. I'm not exaggerating. This is not total child care. This is miraculous, life-saving love. $30, $50, $100, we can feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months. Think about this. $1,000, we can feed 100 kids. Please, go get your bank card, dial that number, go online, use that bank card like a check. If you write a check, make it to life. Call us and tell us you're making it. Please do it right now. You're giving the greatest miracle. You're giving life and pointing to the life of God in Christ. You become a demonstration of it.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. Also, please consider an extra gift to help immediately rebuild malnutrition clinics destroyed by record flooding in South Sudan. The urgent need is $392,000 above our normal feeding budget and is critical to help save the lives of those who are suffering most. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you It Is Well, Quiet Time Bundle, featuring an instrumental music CD with 12 classic hymns and a 31-day prayer booklet to help renew your soul. With your gift of $100 or more, request the No Greater Love frame print. This portrait is a reminder of our Savior's love and the price that was paid for our salvation. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, Betty, you look at this long line, and boy, it goes all the way back to the big four-wheel drive truck. You started praying years ago that God would make the line to feed the children longer than the line to be fed. I think God's answered your prayer.
He is, James, but at the same time, the line gets longer. And so we need to help our line to reach them, continue to grow, and you to reach out more, because I know you're blessed as you see these children being fed here. Let's don't let it stop. Let's keep soup in the barrel so they can come and line up and get fed.
You know what I believe? If you called and got a busy, you're going to call until you get through, because you're going to save lives. I believe that. You're the most wonderful people. And you're going to start praying for that Promise Keepers meeting in AT&T Stadium in July. Ken, we're excited about what God's going to do. This is important.
I can't wait. But just think about the visual of this will be the first major gathering in the world since COVID hit. And it'll be 80,000 men in one stadium praising the Lord. The people of the world are wondering, what happened to America? Where are the Christian men? This will be such a massive news story as they all rush into what is going on. All these guys are getting together and they're singing and they're repenting and they're falling on their face. What is going on? And they see all these young people who are fatherless, who've come in. The whole world's going to see this and go, my goodness gracious, American men are back. I think this is the beginning of revival, James.
They're going to behold the glory of God, not a movement, but a move of God. Yes. Through the vessels yielded to His kingdom purpose. Really pray. You pray, you support, you be a part of it. And thank you so very much. We sure do love you.
I longed to be free more than I longed to have secrets.
Jesus Over Everything with Lisa Whittle, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.